Hello and welcome to another episode of the Eclipse Exchange podcast. Today, me and Aaron are going to go through five things you didn't know your JAL test system could do. Oh, so Aaron, how's your week been?
Yeah, busy, lots of miles again. Been up in Scotland this week, so right across Inverness to Aberdeen and down to Dundee. So with the snow this week, it's not exactly been very easy. But no. Yeah, we're back and we're in one piece.
Not so most enjoyable, even better. With all the snow, yeah, of course. Yeah. Not like great weather at the moment. But do you want to start us off with first tip then, the JAL test smart guides? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fire away.
So yeah, I mean, JAL test already has troubleshooting on the equipment anyway, so it's a step-by-step process you can follow. It'll give you the pictures, the locations, the things you should be doing. However, smart guides has been added to the kit now to aid the process. So rather than having to go and find these checks, these tests that you should be doing, it is genuinely giving you the linked data. So what I'll do here is just show you through what it would look like, to be honest. So let's use a Volvo example. As you say, it'll work the same.
We're always using DAF. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's use something different. There we go. So through an AdBlue system, let's assume on a Volvo.
So what you're doing now is connecting to the engine ECU or the anti-pollution ECU,
I say. Yeah. And then we go to diagnosis. Now, the third icon here, so mm-hmm. we have the usual component locations and time of occurrences. The third icon here is the guided troubleshooting, or the smart guides now, as we refer to them. So it is, as we said, giving you guided actions on here. So tests you should be doing.
Fault, if you can't see the screen, is AdBlue pump short circuit to ground.
Mm-hmm. So it's giving you nominal values to check for and giving you the linked test. So rather than having to go back to the system checks to try and to remember what you're looking for in the first place, it's here.
We've got a guided process for you to follow and linking you to those electronic checks that JAL test can do for you.
Yes.
And it's even telling you what we need from that test so you can quickly come to the conclusion of whether or not we have an issue.
Exactly.
In which case, this is 43.51 PSI it needs from a AdBlue system test.
Mm-hmm. And as you, so rather than expanding the steps in the old style view, you've got page by page, test by test.
Yeah. Have you found the problem? Yes, no.
Yeah.
On to the next one. Mm-hmm. And each page is specific to the problem that you're having.
Yeah. And an example here, so we have, it has been correct, so it's taken us straight to step five. Mm. So rather than going from 1, 2, 3, 4 to five, it's gone straight to five because we already know that nominal value is correct. Yeah. This is the next step you need to
tailor to your issue.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So that is something new within JAL test. And so far I've got a lot of good comments from it, to be honest with you.
And you can obviously, on the help and components of the error, if you ever had to revert back to pictures, locations.
Oh, yeah.
We've got your AdBlue pump module there, and there you go, picture of where it's located.
The locations, the values you should be getting.
And that first system test, I think, was a pump check anyway, so it's going to be electronically activating that pump.
That's it.
To make sure that it's working.
The third icon here,
smart
guides, it's there to use from
The only thing I would mention for customers is just get that all on the Wi-Fi, personal hotspot it to your phone, whatever you need, just to pull up the smart guides. Mm-hmm. You will need the internet access for it.
Yes. As you mentioned before, one of the very few things you do actually need the internet for on JAL test.
Do you want to move on to tip two then, the vehicle stroke vessel data? I suppose this is a bit of a point to some things that we have covered in a few podcasts previously, but we've gone past just diagnostics. This is more a case of preventative maintenance and, you know, giving you repair manuals far more than just a bog standard diagnostic kit would do. We're taking it far, far further.
Yeah, well, I suppose it stops the crystal ball diagnosis.
Or exactly. Facebook forums.
Yeah, this is it. You know, rather than, I suppose, throwing parts at a vehicle, thinking it might be a sensor and actually it's not at all.
Need some tiny torques or belt diagrams or whatever. Yeah. Don't Google it.
Don't Google it. It's all on the kit. Yeah. So regardless of what ECU you're on at that present time, so that's this time using an engine example.
Vehicle vessel data.
And then go to exactly vehicle vessel data. Again, what JailTest will do...
just ask you what horsepower, what engine
exactly.
You've got.
Exactly, so it's not generic data. This is specific data to the engine. Yeah, exactly.
And that's important. I know, you know, sometimes it can be a pain if you need to go and check, but look, mm-hmm. we need to make sure that we're giving the right information. So once you've checked you know, what variant of engine it is, whether that's the engine code or what horsepower it is, I'm sure if you get the reg... call our vehicle support as well.
Yeah.
They'll be able to tell you which variant of
engine you've got. A lot of the cases that they're on private plates, but at least you've got a VIN number, a part number there somehow. We can aid with that. So, I mean, anywhere from, a lot of people like this one, I'm sure you find the same, Louis, but you know, belt layout, something so simple.
That's a simple one, you should pull up a Merc.
exactly. But again, something so simple, really, in theory, but it's all on the kit belt layouts, with or without aircon, you know.
Firing orders.
Yeah. Even, I don't know if you've spotted this recently either, but actual procedures for doing specific checks.
Releases and procedures. In fact, actually, this will be 6 tips, actually, because we'll cover releases and procedures as well.
So guides of how to literally go and do...
Change your ABLU filters, check the ABLU pump or the fuel pump or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, change your DPF.
Even valve clearances now. All important, you know, VGT information, tightening torques on different engine components, different phasing of it. Even, you know, what qualities and quantities of oils you should be using. Which I know, in theory, again, it's something you take for granted. But again, from power to power, engine to engine, it varies.
Yeah, if you just wanted to check... for that particular engine that you've got, there it is, clear as day. Don't be Googling it.
No, that's it, because that's where things go wrong. Yeah. So.
And stuff on the braking system as well. I've noticed we got you've got tightening torques on the brakes and stuff on the electrical system, maximum and minimum disc thicknesses, you know, even give you the same for the clutch as well.
So that is attached to most engines, most power outputs on vehicle vessel data.
There we go.
It'll be all in there for you.
Yeah, a lot of people will be going, what? I didn't know that was there. I'm joking.
Yeah.
And I suppose the next one would be the service schedule sheets, whatever you want to call them.
Exactly that.
Maybe
so
pick,
let's go for
Merc or something.
Yeah, okay. Let's go for something else now, shall we? So let's go for
an Actros or...
An Actros will be at the top. There we go. So... Go one in the middle, shall we? So maintenance data upon JailTest, and again, pick something.
What variant of engine you've got?
Something in the middle, and giving you
manufacturer specific services. Yeah,
exactly. So you know, DAF might call it an X and Y service. Yeah. Mercedes will call it exactly, you know, M service. So
J1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, yeah, there you go. There you've got
giving you the Mercedes terminology.
And over on the right-hand side, if you weren't sure what those terminologies mean and what actually entails with those set intervals, you can obviously hit that little blue arrow and pull up the right-hand side on a sort of bigger format. And it'll tell you what each interval entails, what it wants you to go and do.
Because that's sometimes the case, isn't it? You've got all the service schedules, but actually, what should I be doing?
Yeah.
So that's why it's there. Yeah. And giving you all the points. And from this point, giving you, well, again, saves pen and paper at this point, doesn't
it? But what you need to go and do.
Yeah. Gives you everything that you should be doing or should be checking, aircon, leaving comments.
Chassis, cooling system, electrical system, intake.
Yeah.
What's that we got? Is that steering at the bottom?
It's coolant fluid.
Drive
tests. That's it. And what you'll be able to do at the end of the service is save the report within GRP, which we've covered in the past.
Yeah, and the good thing we'll probably reiterate with GRP is if you are a transport manager or a workshop manager or whoever, and you want to have a full historical record, that's exactly what the GRP is there. It's installed on JailTest. It's installed on the device, on your test pad. But also, we can install it on other devices. So if you are a workshop manager, a transport manager, and you want other devices to have access to your reporting system, you can access all these service reports, all these diagnostic reports on a office computer or whatever.
It is quite common that these things live on the road.
Yeah.
And the transport manager, the fleet manager needs to be able to look at a report from, let's say, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Does he want to be calling the guy who's running the kit, fixing vehicles?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He's too busy.
The technical department were telling me that some of our biggest customers, some of our biggest operators will actually make purchasing decisions, whether that's on a biannual basis or a monthly basis or whatever, using the data so they can go back on the past reports and check, if they're a multi-brand fleet, which manufacturers are causing them the pains and causing them the most downtime.
Exactly.
And then they can make decisions on which they want to purchase moving forward, which by going through JALTAS reports.
Sometimes when it comes to the defleet process, they can look at, right, what has been troublesome over the last 3 years, and let's allocate these vehicles to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Cool.
Moving on.
Do you want to, well, it seems that we're talking about GRP. Should we move on to, so GRP meaning garage resources and planning, I think.
Yep.
So should we move on to the walk round inspections?
Yes, certainly. So what you'll be able to do in the kit now, if I just point us in the right direction.
So this is a report that we've saved already on a TGM.
TGM, M-A-M. That's it.
Yeah.
So you'll press your three dots on the report itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then essentially the bottom line, walk around check. So it'll give you a general technical release, giving you when these should be carried out, protocols to follow, areas to go and observe. And then a little bit like the service perspective, but more so. Yeah, exactly. Now, so giving you all of your checks you should be doing, and also giving you an option of a note as well. So if something isn't performing or working as it should, then leave a note next to it.
And we live in a digital world now, as they say, and if you are still using pen and paper, which most I go out to still are, then you can revert to a digital format for your diagnostic reports, for your service reports, but also your walk around inspections. And you may already know what you're doing. You may have been doing them for years, but just being able to have consistency in showing what you've done and having dates, times, etc., and these bullet points of, oh yeah, I did do that last year, because there it is, clear as day, on a report. To show that.
Exactly. Really, really every report looks the same. Every tick point has the same sort of, let's say, amount of data in there. So one doesn't change the other.
Yeah.
It's a standardized report which should be carried out on every vehicle.
And releases and procedures, I think we were going to cover quickly, just in case you wanted to pull those up sort of manually. I know you pulled up a specific example that was linked to a fault code a second ago, but so if you want to choose a different manufacturer now. Or...
Yeah, so releases and procedures.
There we are.
So model ranges.
Yeah.
Let's go for something at the top. There you go. So here we go. In different categories.
Yeah.
Different points again. There we go. Right, so if that's... as we said, it is linked to other parts of the software, but sometimes, let's say you've changed the AdBlue filters all day long on all the manufacturers. You've got, in this case, a DAF in the workshop. You haven't done this process, or...
Yeah, maybe you're an apprentice and maybe you just want to have a look.
Yeah,
or you want to do your research.
Mm, exactly.
Before you go and do it for the first time. Yeah.
So rather than having to ask for this type of
you can
data...
print it out as well.
You print it out. It's all on the kit. Again, nice, crisp, clear pictures.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning as well, some of our customers may only have one or two units and there might be 6, 7, 8 technicians that you can print this data out, but you can also... call vehicle support for this.
Yeah.
And we've been getting some really great feedback. Obviously our tech support is world renowned, and we get some really great feedback and have done for years now, but I've been having some really good feedback lately of where we've just gone that over and above for certain customers. And a point I wanted to raise was, if you haven't got your kit with you or somebody else is using it and you need a tightening tool, or you want to, you want to pull up a particular release and, you want some instructions how to change your AdBlue module or whatever it is, call vehicle support, give them your email address, tell them what you need and we'll send it over.
Yeah, as long as you can, as I say, mention where you're calling from.
Yeah.
That sort of information we can send over
to
you.
We can provide.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a really good one recently. Well, I don't know. It might be a really basic one. Everyone might say, I knew that. But there's so many examples where if you didn't know, sometimes, you can have the best computer with it, greatest respect, but you can have the best computer possible.
Mm.
And sometimes what a computer tells you is just, or the vehicle is not quite capable of telling you that actually, this issue is here, or actually this is what this is, don't worry about it. And sometimes these faults could be so misleading. And we had a customer that sent their bus back to the manufacturer, back to the dealer, so they could have a look at it. And they had an issue with throttle, no response. Mm-hmm. Every now and again, and a light would come up. And drivers, obviously, consistently complaining about it. And technicians can't get to the bottom of it. The dealers cleared it down, can't find any issues, sent it back to the customer with an advice of changing a sensor or whatever, maybe a throttle position sensor. And we plugged in with the jar test. We did a full system scan. No faults in the engine, considering it's to do with the accelerate pedal.
Yeah.
Or maybe even, something along those lines. Mm. Fault was actually in the body computer.
Right.
And it was something along the lines of brake pedal, accelerator pedal malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Quite misleading. That's all the vehicle is capable of telling us.
And this is the case. We can only read as much as the vehicle can read.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. And some of these ECUs are super basic.
Yeah.
So phone vehicle support, give them the code.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've had this one before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, really? Yeah. The driver's pressing the accelerate pedal and the brake pedal at the same time.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And that was
Tell the driver.
Yeah.
Change his boots.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something actually that I do mention to a lot of my customers I go and see all week is, it's not just what's on the kit. It's also what we keep over a 16-year-old database.
Yeah.
Go. Sometimes, we've heard of things more than just once.
Yeah, of course.
So every time we do hear of, let's say, new occurrences, we'll store it on a big data sheet, ready for that phone call.
Yeah.
And it might be a case of actually looking for that further. There's your issue. We've talked about the Renault Midland ambient temperature sensor fault before on this podcast.
<love that one.
laughs> that's it. And again, something so simple, you'd think, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Something that causes quite a major issue on the road is just a broken wire.
No customers of Eclipse running jail test should be scratching their head worrying about this.
Mm.
If you spent any longer than a couple of minutes staring at a fault code thinking, what is this one? Mm. I'm really struggling here. Just pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Number's obviously on the back of the test pad anyway.
Yeah.
So you can't miss it.
No.
You'll get straight through to vehicle support and they will help you. You need... And another point as well is I get so many customers maybe ringing the vehicle support, asking a question.
Mm-hmm.
And we're giving them the information or giving them the help over the phone.
Yeah.
But what customers may not realise is that actually we do have remote access. It's something that we're always banging on about in previous podcasts. But ask our guys to remote on and take a look for you.
Yeah.
There's sometimes, because what you might tell our vehicle support over the phone might not be bang on what you're seeing on screen.
Yeah.
We may have something, we may have wires crossed, miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
If we can see your screen, what you're working on, what you've chosen in terms of model variant and engine variant, perhaps you've chosen the wrong one. If we can see all that, we have got such a higher chance of being able to...
We're now on the same path.
We're on the same path and we're all on the same... By the way, I just wanted to mention as well, one of the finishing point is I must have done this with my microphone and so Ben came on. So thanks, Ben. Came on and just lowered it for me.
Yeah.
I'm obviously too small for the mics.
Technical issues. There's one more thing I'd like to point out on this kit.
So number seven now.
We'll
keep going.
So data recorder.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is something that is across every vehicle and every single ECU.
Yeah.
I can use anything as an example.
Flight recorder. People might know as. Yeah.
That's flight recorder, data recorder.
Yeah.
Essentially, something you can use on a live drive.
Yeah.
So, let's assume here that vehicle's gone into limp mode.
Mm-hmm.
And
or she's only we get it, intermittent faults. She's only doing something under a certain set of parameters.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what it's like? The driver or the operator has reported it to you, but in the workshop, you can't get that to happen.
Yeah, that's it.
So what do you do? Right. So down to data recorder, and it's ECU specific. So if you're looking for a wheel speed sensor, obviously you're going to make sure you're in the brakes.
Yeah.
In engine, let's just say it's down on power, there's an intermittent engine issue coming up here. What you'll be able to do is record 24 measurements for up to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you basically tick through. Now, at this point, you've got to really think, right, where is it that I want to go and record? Is it down to pressures? Is it temperatures? Is it going too hot on the road?
Do we have a power issue? Do we want to pull up our voltages?
That's it. Now, because of gel tests, and this will work the same as the measurements at this point, what gel test does and what we do is give you what something is and what something should be. So anything...
Actually, a good one, actually. I had a dealer ring me. They've got four or five gel tests.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have the OEM diagnostics as well.
Mm-hmm.
They actually put the genuine OEM diagnostic kit down, and they used the gel test. And the reason being is they took the OEM tool, the dealer tool, out on a road test with the truck, and they were measuring the PPMs and the NOx sensors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the OEM tool would show them what they were live, input and output, what those NOx sensors were reading, but gel test was also giving them sort of the calculated values too, or the sort of the required values, what you should be seeing.
Yeah.
So they could see clear as day whether or not they were getting the right measurements.
Yeah.
So, and that's a point
Actually, we haven't discussed this off camera, but I had exactly the same last Thursday.
Oh, really?
And another dealer with their own tool they could do a flight recorder, but not with the nominal measurements and the actual measurements on the kit.
Yeah.
So they put the dealer tool down, let's say, take gel test out with them even on their own specified trucks. So here we go. So let's pick one as an or a couple of examples here. So intake pressure, fuel pressure, what it is, what it should be. Now, as we
by the way, we're not saying that dealer tools don't show what it is and what it should be. There's certain elements that they don't have.
Certainly the flight recorder section sometimes across the board won't have that data. So at this point now, you'd put your kit on the passenger seat, link up out of the way somewhere, go out for however long you need the fault to occur in the ECU. And basically, when you get back to the yard, once it's faulted on the road, you would press the only button that you physically can on here. And what you'll be able to do here is play that whole drive back you've just been on. Now, as soon as you see a fault code come live here, you can look at what the fault code was, but mainly what was causing the fault to occur at that time. So
live data,
pressures nowhere near where it should have been on the road, nowhere near where it should have been on the road, hence probably that fault code coming on at that time. So was it uphill, under load? That I think I know where I need to be looking now. So the sensor is reading something, but actually it's well out of the parameters.
Sometimes you may have a mechanical issue down on pressure. I
mean, absolutely.
You might not have any fault codes.
Mm-hmm.
It might not start. You want to see if you're getting the right fuel injection, the right fuel pressures.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pull that up on a live test.
Very, very useful. I mean, for these days, really, the kit will identify which wheel speed sensor is out of range. But where sometimes they are an older vehicle and this sort of thing will need some investigation, rather than having to spin each wheel yourself, you can go on a live drive with the data recorder on brakes, and you'll be able to see which sensor was dropping out.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah. Well, there we have it.
So
tips you might know you might not know that the gel test can perform. Otherwise, if there's anything else that customers or any gel test users want to ask us for the next podcast, we can maybe squeeze it in. Show you where. But obviously, if you're an Eclipse customer, you can always use vehicle support to find out now. But if there's something that you'd like us to cover, let us know. Drop a comment. And I just want to say as well, by the way, if it looks really super comfortable where we're sat now, it is. But if you saw behind the cameras, you'd realise that it's quite cold in here.
Yes, absolutely freezing. Yeah, yeah. So kettle on now.
Yeah, that's it. So thank you so much for watching. Hopefully this was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And we've covered some good points there. And we'll see you soon.
See you next
Thanks
time.
Thanks again. Oh, and just actually one thing, actually. I'm closing off. We have got some really exciting new products, tools that we can discuss in the next podcast.
Yes.
So we'll cover that. There you go. Thanks again.